This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
This is Saturday Magazine.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Macca and Fiona Newton. Fiona from Chicks Talking Footy. And so, Paul Gover, who writes a lot for Australian Business Traveller and other publications, is on the phone. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Macca. How are you?
Good. And we've got Fiona from Chicks Talking Footy. You know, we have our own Chicks Talking Footy show on Joy.
Well, footy is a religion in Melbourne. Of course you would have a Chicks Talking Footy show. You have to have everything that you can possibly have about footy, because even in the off-season of footy, it's still... I looked at the sun this week and it was all about footy, footy, footy.
Yeah, and Meghan Markle did a handball at Government House this week.
But see, not Meghan Markle visited. Meghan Markle did a handball.
That's right.
Come back to AFL at the end of the day.
So what are you going to talk to us about this week, Paul?
There's a lot going on. Well, there's a lot going on at the moment in the car industry. The sales are down, and they've been down sort of pretty much through the year, which means that there's a lot of bargains going on. But we're also coming into car of the year season. And so all of your motoring journalists around Australia are cogitating and trying to work out what should be the contenders for car of the year and what should be the cars of the year. And I can remember years and years ago, Macca, remember we had the queer car?
Yes, we ran
in the Herald Sun.
The queer...
And, everybody... Yeah, go on.
Well, we had the queer car of the year and I also had the root barge of the year.
Okay, then.
So the car that was best to have sex in.
Don't come knocking while it's a rockin'.
That's right. And go on, Paul.
No. And I remember that one year we had the Falcon Youth was the queer car of the year, and a lot of people couldn't understand that because that's something tough, be a queer car.
Didn't I get into
it? I thought it was the Subaru.
I got into trouble for the headline on that, remember?
Yes.
It said, was the Falcon XR6 Turbo Ute? And I said, big blow for big go. And this is the lie that I probably will get into trouble for this. I said, pulls harder than a 16-year-old.
I think we all got to have a sense of humour about life with these sort of things, because life's too, you know, I thought it was fantastic and we had some great fun with it. And then, of course, but this year there's no Falcon, for the first time, no Falcon and no Aussie-built cars in the Car of the Year Awards. So, you know, it got me thinking of what would I put up. Because I'm also a judge for the World Car of the Year.
That's right.
Which is interesting as well, you know, and that's a different kettle of fish altogether.
There's only two World Car judges in Australia, isn't there?
Yes, myself as a freelancer and Joshua Dowling, who works for News Limited.
Yep.
Although there are two other Aussies who are on the panel. The panel's about 90 judges from like 27 countries or something. There's a guy called Michael Taylor, who's an Aussie who lives in Italy, and there's another one called... young Cable, Greg Cable, who lives in Germany. But Cable's been in Germany for so long, he's actually German these days. He was born in Australia, but he is effectively German. But it's interesting because we bring a different, you know, we bring our Australian perspective. And in a lot of ways, although Australia is a tiny car market, only a million cars, it's a test market for a lot of companies. And it's the most competitive in the world. There's 64 car brands.
64
in Australia,
brands, yeah.
And 46 brands in America, which is 13 million cars. So very, very competitive. And also SUVs and the diversity of them is huge these days. So I've got everything from something like the all-electric Jaguar I-Pace right through to, you know, a couple of Volvo X. Their SUVs called XCs. And then we've got Hyundais and Kias and Volkswagen, Skodas, and it just goes on and on and on. But it's a fascinating time of the year because it gets you thinking about what's happening trend-wise and also who's doing well in the marketplace.
Right. So how many female judges are there in the Car of the Year?
Well, it depends which one it is. I'm just sitting down. I'm going to be working with carsales.com.au to do theirs, and I believe they've got one or two female judges. Most of them are very bloke-centric. because there aren't a lot of female motoring journalists in Australia, sadly. And I say that sadly, genuinely. I think there need to be more.
There's more gay male motoring journalists than female motoring journalists.
Well, there you go.
In fact, the straight guys feel a bit outnumbered sometimes, don't they, Paul?
Well, these days, yes, because lots of the guys who are coming in are gay. And I think it's fantastic because I think we need as much diversity as we can get. I would like to see more women, yes, and I don't care whether they're straight or gay or whatever.
Maybe Macca's marketing worked.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's good. You know, and I think everybody, the fascinating thing about Car of the Year Awards, I could tell you that I think the Volvo XC60 is the best car I drove in the past year, and that's what I voted for World Car of the Year. And then Macca would say, you know, oh, but what about the Hyundai this, or what about the something or other from, you know, like a friend of mine just bought, would you believe, an LDV, which is a Chinese car, and he bought it because the quality's good, not just because it's cheap and nasty, but it's actually good. And so you're all the time, and this is the thing I love about the car world, you're forever having to adjust your sight, correcting all the time, you know, who's doing well, who's not doing well. You know, we saw again Holden in a bit of trouble this week, and they've stopped ordering the new Commodore that they get from Europe because they've got too many. You know, so they're not, they're, you know, and yet Holden could do no wrong for 40 years, and now they're in all sorts of trouble, you know. Toyota is still number one in Australia, but their cars are being overtaken by all sorts of Korean cars and European cars these days, you know. So it's a fascinating, I mean, it's a nebulous sort of topic to be talking about Car of the Year, but, you know, everybody has their own opinion on these sort of things, and it's fascinating. There is nothing better than getting in a room with 10 motoring journalists when everybody has it's one person, one vote, and you're all trying to convince each other that they're idiots and you're the only one that knows what the correct result should be.
10 people and 11 factions, Paul.
Indeed. You know, and we're all looking at different things. Everybody has different priorities. You know, it used to be price was number one, you know, and colour was number two, and sound system was number three, and safety. Nobody ever cared about safety. That was like number 20, but it's up. And then things like, you know, like I've got a 9-year-old son, so I'm always thinking, well, could you get a bicycle in the back of that? And I remember when, you know, he was in kiddie seats, so how do the kiddie seats work and what's happening on the safety front? And then somebody else says to me, oh, well, electric cars, everybody should have an electric car. And you go, yeah, but you've got to plug it in somewhere, so it's not actually particularly green in Australia. It's all this.
It's actually
a huge balancing.
In a lot of cases, it's a coal-fired car.
Yeah, correct. But the people who are buying them, the greenies of the world, are deluding themselves into thinking they're doing something good.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, you know, they've all got lithium-ion batteries in them. Nobody makes lithium-ion batteries in a first-world country because it's so carcinogenic to actually work with the materials, you know, so you're propping up third world places where the working conditions are probably not so good. And, you know, we could talk about that sort of stuff for hours. But, you know, and then some people just go, gee, it's shiny, it's green, and I like it.
Now, Fiona, what do you look for in a car, Fiona?
I just hope that it goes. No. Well, we have a Subaru, which is a bit, you know, cliche for lesbians to drive. It's often nicknamed the Lesbaru. But and we run a market, so we have to carry a lot of stuff around and do all that kind of thing. So we like a station wagon or something that carts things around, and that's reliable. And
there you go, Paul, the Lesbaru.
The Lesbaru.
Lesbaru. I am going to use that when I'm talking to
it's the boss
of Subaru. You'd be the third mate of mine, Lesbaru. But the thing about it is, Subarus make very sensible cars, and
yes,
in the last couple of years, they spent $1 billion. I sound like Austin Powers, don't I? $1
billion.
Billion.
Yeah, baby.
developing a new platform, you know, the basics of all of their cars are now shared. And so their cars have got really good again. For a while there, they became not particularly good and quite dowdy and maybe Lesbarus. But these days, they're back to doing what they do really well. And I would happily recommend to anybody who's sort of visually impaired, because they still don't look particularly great, but you know, they tick all the boxes, all the things you're looking for. Does it go? Yes. Can it carry stuff? Yes. It does all those things.
Cheap to maintain.
And the retail spent. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Mm. And the dealers and their dealer body has a great reputation.
Yeah.
You know, they have one of the strongest. They and Mazda in recent years have been the real standouts for sort of customer service, everybody aiming to catch them.
I think the XVs look great.
Yeah.
Oh, you've got an XV, have you?
No, an Outback, but I'd upgrade to the XV pretty soon, I think.
Well, you're actually downgrading the XV.
We're downgrading to the XV.
It's two sizes smaller.
That's true. You
know, the XV does all the same stuff, but the Outback it's a wickedly good car. I mean, when it first came out, I remember how good it was. We all thought to start with it was just an Impreza wagon, but it actually has done very, very well. And the resale on those, you should drive it into the ground because it's still going to be worth something when you come to get rid of it.
Now, we've got to go, Paul, but I want to ask you, industry fail for 2018.
Holden. sorry. Although, how do you like this? I think Holden have just failed completely, you know. The fact that they've had the hire guy who used to run Toyota in Australia tells you everything. You know, they don't even have enough talent in their own company to get the right managing director. But the other thing that's been a big fail for me, and Macca, put your fingers in your ears, Mercedes-Benz came into the Ute market with a thing called the X-Class, which is anything but a Mercedes. It looks like a Mercedes inside, but it doesn't have all of the Mercedes-ness that we've come to expect. And it's actually a clone of the Nissan Navara Ute. So they've tried to shortcut it that way. And I've said it's the biggest fraud since the Toyota Lexan, which was actually a Holden Commodore sold in Australia with the Toyota badge.
Well, compliance doesn't allow me to comment, Paul.
No, of course not.
But as always, thank you for your views. We'll be speaking to you again a couple of times before the end of the year, of course. And anyone that wants to read Paul's words, even the bad ones, Australian Business Traveller, Under the Lifestyle. You know you're a lifestyle journo now, Paul.
Yes, I am.
Is Motoring by Paul Gover.
Okay, that's great. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
Bye.
Hi, this is John Borghetti, the CEO of Virgin Australia. Just like Joy 94.9, we are flying high and proud.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.